And this is SurviveToThrive.net. Listen, thank you, Steve. And we are here tonight on Tuesday night. This is December the 8th. I don't know about you, but where I'm living right now, it got cold. We even had some snow yesterday, just a little bit. We're ready. Listen, you know what I do? I even jog out into the deep woods when there's snow. It is absolutely incredible. Back into the woods, I can go back into the woods, see the snow falling through the pine trees, and listen, just literally enjoy myself. And sometimes, you know what I do? I get back there and I stand back there, and that's where I'll do some praying. That's where I'll do some talking to God. There's been some really heavy decisions that I've had to make in life, and there's times that I've gone back there where it's quiet, where you feel the embrace, literally, of creation all around you. See, I love creation. I love the trees. I love the stars. I love the mountains. I was telling everybody yesterday that on the way back from Tennessee, seeing the pine trees and the mountains there, and then in Kentucky, and just all the scenery and the stars at night. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Absolutely beautiful. Now, let me ask you a question, though. What if I was just to simply, you know, cry out to the universe? Mr. Universe, will you help me? Mr. Universe, will you come to my aid? Mr. Universe, I've got questions to ask you. Now, you might think that's crazy, but I want you to know that there are many people, even in the New Age movement, that are doing that very thing. I listened the other night to a guy that was giving counsel on the radio to people, and he was talking about just crying out to the universe and letting your feelings be known and speaking out. Now, let me ask you something. If the universe is vast as they say it is, to us it seems to be endless, massive, awesome. I mean, years and years ago, down at Cumberland College in Kentucky, when I went there for a little bit, we went to the Moon Bowl, got on to the big rocks there at the river, laid on the rocks late at night, just looking at the stars. Down there now, it seemed like there were hundreds of millions of stars. They seemed to be something I could reach out and touch them. I mean, it was massive. It was beautiful. It was awesome. We can hear the roar and the rush of the river breaking over the rocks around us. The cool of the summer breeze late that night. The trees that were encircling us, and there were the stars, there was the sky, there was creation. And it was awe-striking, and it was really fantastic. But I didn't say, Mr. Universe, can you hear me? Mr. Universe, can I tell you how great the stars look tonight? Let me ask you something. If you call to the universe, will it answer you? Remember the storyline we've heard so many times? Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? Listen, if you call out to the universe, will anybody answer? That's part of the discussion tonight in the midst of a series this week we're calling Idols That Can't Hear, Speak, or Help You. That's the topic for the week, Idols That Can't Hear, Speak, or Help You. Last night, Monday night, we did one called Calling for Help When No One Is There, Idols for Destruction. Tuesday night here on SurviveToThrive.net, we are doing the 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time show. And listen, this one's titled, Is the Universe God? Is the Universe God and Can It Hear You? Does It Speak? Tomorrow night, we're going to deal with science, when science gets God under the microscope. Now, the reason I say that, over to my right, I'm looking at a book, a great book, by the way, a great book. Francis A. Schaeffer, a book called He Is There and He Is Not Silent. You ever get a chance to pick up the book by Francis A. Schaeffer? He Is There and Not Silent. Incredibly great book. Listen, if you're a theoretical physicist, a scientist, if you're somebody that loves to study this, you notice that in our series Friday, we will begin an introduction to the concept of the God particle. And we're going to all next week on all the sessions break down discussion on the God particle. How do you measure God? How do you get God under the microscope? Can the Hadron Collider there, you know, break down an atom to a certain level, split one to where, as they're saying, the very kind of particle that was there in the beginning of the universe? Well, listen, we're going to talk all about that for all of next week. We're going to relate it to biblical revelation. And I'm going to tell you very clearly, by the way, as I say this, I'm holding a second book in my hand by another scientist called Science and Theology, an Introduction. But over to my far right, there's a book that says The God Delusion. The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins. And here's an entire book written about or against God, against his existence. And so he's basically saying to everybody out there that believes in God, it's a delusion. And too bad for Richard Dawkins. He's never felt the presence of God, enjoyed the living presence, interacted with God. Let me say to Richard Dawkins, God is there. He is not silent. God is listening. God can be, interacted with. There is a way. Above that book, I'm looking to my right. There's a book up there, and here's what it says. Why God Won't Go Away. Now, that book is about the science and theology. It's like the biology of the existence of God, that we are literally hardwired to believe in God. Now, I'm going to tell you that I believe that's theological. I believe that's biblical revelation, that we are hardwired, that we've been created, bara, by special act of God, and that we've been created with the capacity, we've been hardwired to know God, to interact with God, to be a bearer of the image of God. And I'm going to tell you something that we said last night. God giving this panoramic view of the fall of the human race. You know what he says? In verse 21 of Romans chapter 1, it simply says these words, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God," Richard Dawkins, "nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile," Richard Dawkins, "and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise," Richard Dawkins, "they became fools and exchanged the glory of God." They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to be look like man, mortal man, and birds and animals. We mentioned this yesterday. And so there is this picture of the fall of the human race, which brings a blanketing separation, a darkness that shrouds that hardwired, that which is within us, that construct within the human conscience and will and mind, our whole capacity. The capacity to perceive God, know God, interact with God, hear from God, talk to God, well, that has been darkened and dampened in the sin issue. The Bible says there is this God, small g, the God of this world, Satan, blinds the minds of unbelievers so they can't see. So there is a supernatural force that blankets humanity, doesn't want you to see. Listen, if you're listening right now and you're someone seeking spirituality, seeking answers, I don't know if you're crying out to the universe or if you believe like Targ and Hal Putoff and many of the new folks out there writing that the universe is alive. It's a living universe, a global brain, a living energy out there. Well, in one sense, you're going to hear me say tonight, yeah, all of creation is alive. And all of creation is talking. I'm going to tell you tonight that creation is talking, and I'm going to wonder whether anybody's listening. Because in the revelation of God, in response to that plentiful and powerful speaking of creation to all of existence, all of humanity, Well, it's going to tell us. Well, let me do that in just a moment. Let me tell you this. When I think in terms of the book by Richard Dawkins, The God Delusion, and I think of the book above that, Why God Won't Go Away, and I think in terms of Francis Schaeffer, which, boy, I guess it was almost 30 years ago, maybe, somewhere around there, 25 years ago, I read this little book, He Is There, referring to God. God is there, and God is not silent. And that's what I'm going to say tonight, that if you're willing to listen, regardless of the background, even if you're a New Ager, a psychic, a remote viewer, military man, politician, or a dear individual sitting there by that computer, just simply listening. For the many of you, and I think hundreds or thousands that download the archives, I want to say again, welcome. My name is Russ Dizdar. Everything about us can be found out at www.shatterthedarkness.net. Shatterthedarkness.net. And hundreds of downloads, many other materials. The book is out, The Black Awakening, about, well, the rise of satanic super soldiers. And what's about to come? Chaos before New World Order. It's all about that. But tonight is part two of a series this week about idols that can't speak here. Well, they can't do anything. And yet in this fallen world where we're all trying to break through the ragged edge of all this life, well, some have come to admit, you know what, we did wrong, and they have turned, and they've been embraced by God, and they have embraced God, and they can testify with all of their heart and even die with the testimony that God is real, God dwells in them, that God is knowable, that God is not an it, God is not a force, God is not an energy out there, though he has power and energy, obviously. Ultimately, the infinite, immortal, immeasurable God is knowable and is relational. That's what we're going to delve into tonight again. I want to say real quick that we have the 31 days of Blaze Up for those who want a devotion per day. And we missed over the weekend. We'll catch that up. But we've got them on basically every day. Bunch of other series up, one on the rise of Homo Satanus, the Antichrist, one on discernment in this age, ESP or HSP, one on Psy Warriors, bunch of other stuff out there. It's all for you, and it's all free. And the series on the abyss, even the ones that Steve Quell and I did together, they're all out there free. And just click on the icon, and you can get them all. Great to hear from you. During the show, you can write to me, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net, and it's always great to hear, and we're going to check that out pretty soon. Now, I've had a few folks that have talked to me about a better headset system here, and we are looking into it, and we're going to have a new set here sooner or later here, shortly, hopefully. And we're going to have something that you're going to be able to hear. It's going to be clearer. So we do apologize that this doesn't come through as clear as we want it. But listen, I'm grateful, again, so many that do write, so many that do listen, and that get involved. Now, keep your eyes on Copenhagen and what's happening there. I think that's a good thing for all of us to do. I think anybody out there that is a believer in Christ, let me say again, blessings to you, blessings to all. Unashamedly, in the name of the living Christ, may I say again, there's none like him, unprecedented, unequaled, and not only in who he is, what he spoke, and what he did, but also what he's doing right now, and what he will do. Now listen, for all the New Agers, all the followers of Alice Bailey, even Eckhart Tolle and Oprah, trainees. There is a new heaven and a new earth going to come. The infinite will bring it about, not the finite. And let me tell you, the Prince of Peace, not just the infinite, he's revealed as the Prince of Peace. You want an end to war? You want an end to rape? You want an end to sin? You want to end all racism? You want to end all crime? You want to end the injustice? You want to end corrupt politicians? You want to see the end of the devil and all of it? Well, let me tell you something. It was all accomplished 2,000 years ago. The Old Rugged Cross is not just a song. It's an event that affects the universe, by the way. Can I tell you that? Can I tell you that creation, all the universe, all of creation is sentient, that it does have a sense of feeling or intelligence? Anybody can read Romans chapter 8 and see that all creation groans. It's in pain. Listen, my friend, creation, the universe, is in pain because of the sin and the evil that subjected it to decay. There is something that has altered creation, altered the universe. There is a sense of knowing in the universe about the second coming of Christ, about a new heaven and a new earth, about how the universe, about how creation itself will be affected by the return and the work of the Prince of Peace. He did it at the cross to reconcile us to God, to bring us home. And in his second coming, it will involve the reconciliation, the restoration, or simply the new heaven and the new earth. Don't let anybody kid you. The new heaven and the new earth is not some concept that will come inside of you and make you aware of something new in your existence. This is beyond subjective and New Age dabbling. This is massive. This is enormous. And I'm going to tell you that all creation knows God. All creation feels the pain of the fall of the human race. And all creation knows that a change is coming. That's right. That a change is coming. And listen, study deeply Romans chapter 8, and you're going to see that even creation knows about the second coming, the incredible end of evil, of this destruction, and the beginning of everything being new. How about you out there right now? God speaks about how a life that all the old things can pass away and that a new life can start, a whole new destiny. That's what Christ on the cross is all about. The most spiritual, the most powerful, the most incredible event in human history. And millions of New Agers, though they seek spirituality, are missing the most powerful event. I mean, listen, we have New Agers that will go out and get into a teepee. They'll get into a sweat lodge. And we have some tragedies out west where some people have died. They couldn't breathe. They're seeking a spiritual experience. I'm going to ask you right now, in all of the experience, you can go to Mount Shasta and stand there and look at all the beauty of creation. You can go to Sedona, and you can look at the beauty of the red clay and rock and feel a sense of creation as it speaks. But if you cry out to it, will the rocks cry back? Will the universe answer you? I listened in amazement the other night as an individual that did not know God. Does not know God, does not know how to call to God, does not know how to, relate to God and hear from God, doesn't have the experience of God helping. Listen, I can tell you this right now. Since knowing the Lord for 37 years, I mean, that builds a lot of time of personal interaction, seeing God work in my life, seeing God work in other people's lives, calling out to the Lord and getting answers. Well, let me tell you something. That's not what many millions of people are being offered when they are offered an alternative spirituality that points them to creation instead of the Creator. Let me read it again, written 2,000 years ago. When God speaks about the fallen world, Verse 25, chapter 1, Romans. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. There's an exchange in alternative or counterfeit spirituality. The goal of counterfeit spirituality is an exchange to move you from the Creator and focus you on creation. Thus, call to the universe. Speak out your prayers, not to God, not in a relationship, but somehow your words will spin out there into the universe, and somehow an answer is going to come. Well, let me ask you something. Listen, three things tonight. Three things. If a person's going to go outside, look up into the stars and cry out, "Oh, Mr. Universe, do you hear me tonight? Oh, Mr. Universe, I am in great need. Oh, Mr. Universe." Is it listening? Is the universe listening? And if the universe is listening, it implies intelligence. It implies some kind of personal, living presence. So then, has the universe become God? Has the universe become God? Listen, is God now, the infinite, beyond the universe, God, reduced, even though we see the universe as vast? It is but a finite and very, very small thing in comparison to the infinite, immeasurable God. I still think Christians, even believers in Christ, don't understand the biblical revelation, the didache, the doctrine of the infinity of God. I don't think that there are many scientists I've listened to and theoretical physicists and others. I don't think Richard Dawkins has any idea. He has nixed God as best as he could out of his heart, out of his mind. Problem with Richard Dawkins and many that want to be an atheist, I don't know if you can really be one. To be one, you have to be able to be right. There is no God. And that's an absolute statement. Is it provable? Is it real? Is it right? And if there is no God, let's step back for a moment. No God, no living being out there. Then all the questions come. Where did we come from? Why are we here? Why is there such a thing as love, good and evil? Why do we feel pain? Why do we live and die? Why don't humans just do like the animals and attack each other and eat each other? Well, in some places, I guess they do. I just was listening to a story yesterday about a new place that archaeologists found in Europe, where it demonstrates that mankind were cannibals, and they were eating one another. You can go down to the Mayan temples, see all the beauty as far as creation, but then be seduced and think that it's just a wonderful spirituality. But maybe if you stood there among those ruins long enough and listened to the Italian archaeologists who have gone down, I wonder if you would be able to hear the screams and cries of the kids that were thrown alive and burnt and literally melted. Or the individuals that were alive where these priests dressed in what looked like bird garment. Looked like a big bird. Looked like an animal. And they would reach in with these tools to rip out the guts of the living human being. Now, that's gory, but that's part of the battlefield that we live in. Not all spirituality is beautiful. Not all spirituality is right. God is spirit. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 4, that God, who is spirit, he seeks worshipers who will worship in spirit and truth. There's going to be a relationship. It's going to involve the ultimate spiritual relationship. You can't go higher than this. It's what we've been hardwired for. And what Christ did at the cross has everything to do with reuniting the living personal presence of God back into us, to where you know that you know that you know that you know that God is real, alive, that God can be related to, spoken to, and that answers can come, that you can not only feel and hear, but see demonstrated again and again this incredible, powerful, living, personal God. Well, I know one thing, he loves you. I know another thing, he knows you. I know a third thing very well, he wants you. So wherever you are tonight listening, please understand, it's not the universe that seeks you. It's not the universe that is trying to bring you into relationship with itself. But I'm going to tell you that the universe speaks, creation speaks. And in a few minutes, we're going to go over some of the details. But I want you to think tonight in terms of those who are crying out, letting their words somehow go out to the great beyond. And I'm going to say that the universe, not being personal, a living being, does not answer in personal, relational ways. But I'm going to say there are other powers among us. There are other spirits among us. And when a person begins to cry out or begins to embrace the universe as if it was the creator, if a person begins to cry out and call out to the powers that be, is it possible for some of those powers to come and begin to answer you? Well, I think that the danger of just calling, like opening your door, living in downtown Los Angeles, and opening your door and calling out, whoever's out there, come on in. Who's ever out there, come on in. You never know what stranger may show up at that open door. Tonight on survivetothrive.net, I want you to realize, especially by the providence of God, the arrangement of God for some of you, that God wants to tilt your face away from the universe. He wants to save you from the dark, fallen powers that would show up at your doorstep if you're seeking anything that moves, and look to him. Well, let's take a moment tonight. Let's listen to Steve as he shares. We'll be back in a couple of moments. And so we say thank you to Steve Quayle tonight. Appreciate that as we come back. Listen, we're talking about, can the universe be God? Is that, that would demonstrate a limitation to the extent of God. That would declare that God is finite. Though the universe be big and vast and massive in size and in not just complexity, but beauty and in detail and so much to study, so much to learn, but the universe knows. I want you to know right now, the universe knows. The universe does speak. Now, my difficulty today with the spiritual deception and spiritual alternatives that are out there, listen, if you call out and cry out to something out there may show up. I was at a friend's house today, and there was a frozen glass or cup of milk out there by the sidewalk. And I asked him, what's this? He says, I put that out there because of the stray cats that all come around. Listen, if you just cry out, if you just sit, if you just are willing to take in any powers, any interaction, my concern for you right now is that you don't take the wrong. That it wouldn't be a stray spirit, a fallen spirit that would begin to interact with you. I'm going to tell you right now that alternative, counterfeit spirituality will either guide you to embrace creation as God and begin to worship created things and exchange the glory of the immortal God for you to get entangled with finite mortal things. And that's not going to satisfy anybody. There's going to be preoccupation and distraction. But in the midst of all of this, I'm glad for one thing. Not the universe, but the living God that created the universe is out and he's after you. And the universe that God made, that God created, that God brought about, even for those who believe the Big Bang, you know, some moment in time where you can back everything up and some moment there was a splitting of the atoms, a particle that came into existence out of what? Out of what? Out of nothing. So that something came from nothing. See, that's the problem with the issue of the God particle and the issue of the Big Bang. You can only go back so far. You can only go back so far, and then what's beyond that particle is out of the grasp so far of every single scientist, every single theoretical physicist. And I'm going to tell you right now that it's not, if I can say it this way, nothing that made something. It's something that made something. It's someone that made someone. Let me tell you something. Creation is awesome, awe-striking, beautiful, alive, according to Romans 8, in the sense that it knows that it's been put into a bondage, that it's groaning, that it's looking forward to the redemptive hand of God when the Prince of Peace returns. This is how big the massive, massive event of the return of Christ is all about. Not only the glorification and the giving of indestructible immortality, that's what Christ is all about, and knowing that you got it for sure, and knowing that you're going to experience it for sure, but it goes even beyond a human personal issue to all of existence. What Christ did at the cross involves a new heaven and a new earth and all of eternity. That's why I think anyone listening that is seeking, then what direction are you rowing that curiosity boat in? Creation does speak. Let me read to you Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Notice the idea of speech, communication. Notice the inseparable connection between creation's ability to communicate, to declare, to be proclaim as if it was doing it on purpose. And I believe it is. I believe creation that it's built into creation to declare and to proclaim not only the glory of God, but the work of his hands. When I look up and see the millions of stars, I can't count them, but laying on that rock down by Cumberland Falls, late night by the Moon Bowl, looking up with my buddies all around, listening to the crashing of the river going by, seems like we could just reach up and touch those stars. They were so bright, so close, so vast. Richard Dawkins can lay there and say, that's beautiful, and have no other reference point. An atheist can look at it and say, huh. Someone who knows the God of creation and knows that creation declares the glory of God and proclaims the work of his hands can close their eyes, embrace fellowship with God, and say, God, this is absolutely awesome. What you have done is magnificent. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. See the anthropomorphism in biblical revelation. The power of God expressed is seen not just as infinite energy, infinite power. It is seen as relational, personal. The skies proclaim the work of God's hands. A lot of times when I pray like what I read in Acts chapter 4, asking God to stretch out his hands. I've got people in need tonight. I've got people that I know that are in great tragedy. Spent time with them last night. Spent time with them this morning. They're going through great, vast tragedy. I've watched this individual as they cry, as they get angry. I've watched them as they've cried out to God. Never once did they cry out for the universe to make them feel better. Never once did this person cry out to the universe and say, please answer me. To the universe and say, why me? Why me? But instead to God, not to creation, but to the Creator. To a personal, infinite, living God who can stretch out his hands and heal and save and deliver and show incredible, miraculous signs and wonders. Hey, you can take a check. Acts chapter 4. In the days that we live in, believers living, knowing the conspiracy of the ages is coming to a culmination. It is coming to its pinnacle, and there is a spiritual and supernatural ramping up and a rage that is coming. Great catastrophe, great chaos. Everybody knows it. Everybody feels it all around the world, not just millions, I believe now billions. In the midst of all of it, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Verse 2, Psalm 19. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Verse 3. There is no speech or language where there, referring to creation, where creation's voice is not heard. Verse 4, their voice, or creation's voice, goes out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. These three verses in all of Psalm 19 begins to relate how in general theology or natural theology, creation is declaring and speaking and proclaiming the glory of God. If you take Psalm 19 and go back to Psalm chapter 1, I'm sorry, Romans chapter 1, you're going to see a complete connection here. You're going to see where, well, let's just take a look. As you look at Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Now listen. And anybody that is a Richard Dawkins fan, maybe an atheist, maybe an agnostic out there, if you're a nihilist ready to end it all, if you're an existentialist and just want to experience something, let me ask you something. I want you to hear as I just share personally that God can be experienced. Now, God can't be put into a box and you reach your hand in and just feel his energy. God can't be put under a microscope. God can't even be reduced to the massive machine, CERN. Whatever particle they're looking at is not a piece of God, as if it was a piece of a human flesh. It's part of the creation. I'm going to say again that even CERN, I'm saying that the collider, the super collider, cannot, is vast and big. Who knows what door it really will open? Some talk about the abyss being opened by some kind of machinery like that. Is there spiritual connections to the development of CERN? Hey, listen, we have that series on the abyss you can get. Check it out. But I want to read to you again Romans chapter 1. When in verse 19 it says, What may be known about God is plain to them. So the author of the book, The God Delusion, Richard Dawkins, well, must be nuts. Must be in his own mind and heart unable to perceive what has been made plain. Here's what it goes on to say. Because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world. Now this deals with this God particle. This deals with the Big Bang. This deals with the idea of the first absolute moment in time and creation. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, number one, his eternal power, number two, and his divine nature, number three, have been clearly seen. Amazing. Creation is screaming out to the scientists. Creation is screaming out to the world, revealing the invisible qualities of God, the eternal power of God, the divine nature of God, making the invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature clearly seen. That God's presence being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Richard Dawkins is without excuse. Now you can take a big, you know, paintbrush and paint a big X on your chest and X's on your eye and declare, I don't believe in God, I'm an atheist, there is no God. That doesn't make it so. Your ability to nix God out of your heart, out of your mind, out of your being, well, you can push God out so far, but because we've been hardwired, created to know God, created to be spiritual beings, since we've been made with the stuff that is able to relate to God, hear from God, interact with God on a personal level, and not just look at creation and know that he is. See, I look at creation and know that he is. I look at creation and know God is powerful. I look at creation and say, wow, God is bigger than the universe. Whoever made the universe is bigger than the universe. Whoever made this vast, massive, massive universe must be, well, obviously more massive than creation itself. Creation can declare the presence of God. Creation can reveal the invisible qualities, the eternal power, the divine nature. Creation does a lot of this. And for those scientists, for those seekers that are looking. You are scratching at creation. And creation is trying to scream to you, God is. His invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature. Can't you see God? Can't you see that God is? It literally brings a message to those like Richard Dawkins who would say that believing in God is a delusion. It would literally say that you're nuts. That you're denying your own capacity to see. See, denying God isn't a scientific reality. It's not a theological reality. It's not a reality at all. It is a moral rebellion. Oh, yes, listen to me. Atheists, those who would scream there is no God. It's not a reality. It's not something provable. It's not something for anybody to be afraid of. As if an atheist or if Richard Dawkins was going to be able to somehow put God out like two fingers putting out a lit match. Atheists before, intellectuals that denied God before, like Nietzsche and others that die crazed, lonely, empty. See, we weren't meant to be that way. I believe it's a dysfunction of mind and brain not to be in relationship to God. Since we were made for God, since we have the capacities to know, perceive, experience, relate to, and interact with God. You can cry to the universe all you want as a New Ager, and it will not answer back. Creation would say instead, don't you see the invisible qualities of an infinite, immeasurable, eternal God? Don't you see his power and divine nature? The issue is moral. The issue is rebellion. The issue is exchanging the existence and giving into the sin code, giving into the lie. That's why Romans 1 says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. I believe that building a system, a temple of atheism, and embracing it as your central belief is no more, no less idolatry than Mayans bowing down to temple gods and goddesses. No less than individuals bowing down to Moloch. I believe that worshiping creation is idolatry. And creation speaking back would say, do not do this. Hey, remember, take a read of this. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19. If you go there, you're going to find that at one time, the writer, this amazing writer, John, on the Isle of Patmos, probably in his 80s, and this massive revelation of the end of the days, this massive revelation that completes the scripture, that brings prophetic revelation about exact and accurate end time events, is giving the picture of when John, this great and powerful, experienced man of God, sees all these things and sees this angel. He even falls down to like give homage or worship the angel. The real angel of God turns around and says, do not do it. Stop. Worship God. You know what? Creation points people to God. You know, if you're going to get down before a tree and begin to worship the tree, I wonder if the tree will reach out, smack you on the noggin and say, stop it. Worship God. Every time mankind bows to finite things, one, it's evidence that something's gone awry, something's missing here. Thinking has become futile for a human being to worship a rock, a reptile, a snake on a stick, instead of the Creator. And today, in the midst of New Age spirituality, and what I heard the other day alarms me for you, for humans, for fellow human beings that I love, that God loves. You can't just with all your heart cry out to the universe, cry out to the powers that be, hope that the powers that be will somehow come to your aid. You don't want dark, finite spirits coming to your aid. You don't want to open the door to any stray dog that comes along. There's danger in that. They can come and bring and literally slit your spiritual throat. That's what the dark side does. Satan is a murderer. And he comes to kill and to steal. In the midst of all of it, I want to ask you again, whom do you worship? Whom do you embrace? In Romans chapter 1, it speaks very clearly how by the very act of the first instant in all of creation, and from that moment to this, all of the universe, all of creation, is revealing God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature. Those three things can be clearly seen by an observation of the universe, observation of creation. They lead me to open my arms, raise them into the skies, close my eyes, and embrace the Creator that I know. The Creator that I know is my Redeemer. The Creator that I know is alive, lives in me, gives me joy, gives me His presence, answers when I call out to Him. Listen, God is not the universe. The universe is not God. God created the universe, and the universe speaks and witnesses and reveals that there is an infinite, immeasurable Creator God. But God has intervened. God has interacted. The Creator came into human flesh. Listen, if all of you can study John's Gospel chapter 1, in the beginning was the Logos, the Word, the reason for existence. The reason behind everything that is. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was, in perfect tense, meaning that always has been, always will be, no point of time. Christ has always been eternal. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Pros is the Greek word. Face to face, in total, personal, inseparable relationship. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word, the Logos. The Greeks looked at Logos as something out there that explains the reason for the existence of the created order. God became flesh. Logos became flesh and dwelt. This is amazing. This is incredible. Scientists, why don't you look at the genetics of the incarnation? Why don't you embrace the invitation of God to come and learn. God is speaking. The Spirit of God is speaking. And maybe tonight, by the providence of God, the good arrangement of God, God is drawing you in. Out of being deceived in the futility of thinking that you should worship created things. Everything about creation would tell you don't. We're only created things. As vast as the universe is, it's not God. God's not the universe. God made it. And it the universe demonstrates and reveals that massive is God, awesome is God, powerful is God. God exists. Outside of that, as God speaks and as God shows signs and wonders and as God then visits the earth. Oh, it was planned. The visitation was planned. That's why Thomas eventually, when he realizes, bows down and cries out, "My Lord and my God." That's why the elect angels of God, listen, New Agers, all of the real angels of God worship Christ as God. They know who the Son of God is. The real angels of God point to God, point to Christ, celebrate. Well, they announce his birth. They also worship and celebrate at his birth. They're there during his life. They're there at the resurrection. They're there at the ascension. And these powerful elect angels will be returning when Christ comes and brings indestructible immortality for all those who have said, "Yes, I want God." Do you want God? Do you know God? God is knowable in Christ. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, the living Christ will come into your life. You can call, he will answer. Look to the Lord Jesus. God has revealed a way. And you can come to know God personally. Be filled with the presence of God. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow night, Wednesday at 6 p.m. when we talk about science, trying to get God under the microscope. Hey, God bless you tonight. We'll see you Wednesday night. Thanks for listening. Good night.